Yes, we're recording now.
Well, hey, Mom, welcome to the Tech Podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I know, it's a little weird. I've never interviewed my mom before.
Well, you know, let me say this. I'm happy to be here to be interacting with you. I'm not happy to be here for the reason I'm here.
Right, talking about this damn Facebook page.
Exactly.
Welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Friday, March 22nd. I'm your host, Stephen Overly. Today's episode actually begins back in February with a friend request from my mom. Now, this was weird to me because I knew we were already friends, both on Facebook and in life. So I figured this new account was an imposter. But it turns out the issue was more complex than that.
I was actually on my Facebook page and I got knocked off. And that's never happened before, but, you know, it's technology, it's unpredictable, and it was a minor inconvenience, and I thought, I'll just log back in. Started to put my credentials in, I put in my cell phone number, and it didn't recognize it. I put my email address in, didn't recognize my email address. So I have an alternate email address, I tried that. It didn't recognize that either. And at that point, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to have to call tech support. So I looked up the number for tech support, and I couldn't find one.
And so for the past 6 weeks, these scammers have been posting photos of people named Karen and Susan and Benjamin, all of whom have apparently made hundreds of thousands of dollars off crypto. And guess what? You can too, if you send my mom a DM for more information.
I'm getting messages from my friends. There's some weird stuff on your Facebook account. You know, is this you? Are you into cryptocurrency? What, you know? And I'm like, no, I know my Facebook got hacked. I have no way to recover it. I have no way to stop this person. I have no way to shut down the account. I'm helpless. And I can only hope that what they post is not damaging to my reputation or some AI-generated pictures of whatever.
Yeah, unfortunately, that sounds like the beginnings of a scam that has grown exponentially in the past few years.
John Breo at the National Consumers League has been combating internet scams for years and tells me there's actually a name for this.
But has the unfortunate name of pig butchering.
Pig butchering. You heard that right.
Scammers are contacting people through messaging services often to start these kinds of scams, and it really does sort of lead to really traumatic losses, financial and emotional, for the victims.
So my mom's Facebook has been taken over in a ploy to lure her friends and family into one of these crypto schemes. And so far, attempts to wrestle it back have been ineffective. Some quick context here. The first thing these scammers did was change the email address and password on her account. That's made it harder to get back. And I can tell you, reporting the scam post hasn't done a lot of good either. I've reported more than a dozen of them since this all started, telling Facebook these posts violate their terms of service, that other people could be scammed. Every time, Facebook determines the posts are legit. Here's John again.
What I hear most often from consumers when something like this happens is frustration that it's so hard for them to reach a live person. Oftentimes, they are shunted off to emails that maybe never get answered, to chatbots that maybe are of limited usefulness. And what consumers often want is just a voice on the other end of the phone to talk them through this.
A live person in 2024? Fat chance. But whenever I mention this ordeal to people, friends, colleagues, former Meta employees, they all told me the same thing. I needed to get in touch with someone at the company, not a customer service agent. I needed to know someone on the inside and get them to fix it. Now, I'm a tech reporter. I know plenty of people who work at Meta. But frankly, I didn't feel great about using my professional contacts to get some sort of insider perk. So I didn't reach out to Meta to get the account fixed, but I did ask the company to come on today's podcast. Instead, they sent me this statement that reads in part, "We know that losing and recovering access to your online accounts can be a frustrating experience." And it went on to say that Meta invests heavily in securing accounts and educating its users. But there's a tricky balance. because scammers can use account recovery systems to try to take over accounts too. We also constantly improve our detection, enforcement, and support systems, in addition to providing channels where people can report account access issues to us. Well, spoiler alert, I'm still hitting a wall, and my mom's account is still pig butchering. But today's podcast isn't about personal grievances. Social media hacking and the scams that come with it affect many thousands of people and small businesses each year. So being a journalist, I figured I could at least turn this into a story that informs others. So on today's show, the rest of my conversation with John Breo at the National Consumers League. Hey, John, welcome to Politico Tech.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So how common is this problem?
Well, what we know is that scams originating on social media have been definitely on the rise. According to the FTC's annual Consumer Sentinel Data Book, social media was the way that scammers first contacted victims in over 181,000 complaints last year, and that accounted for almost $1.5 billion in losses. So social media is definitely a place where scammers are finding their victims, which isn't surprising if you think about how much time that your typical consumer spends consuming social media every day. Scammers want to find potential victims for their crimes, and that's where they go looking for them.
Now, a social media account getting hacked doesn't seem to me as lucrative as getting access to, say, someone's bank account or credit card account. What are these hackers even getting out of it?
So what scammers are after when they hack somebody's Facebook account is essentially more victims. So what we'll often see when a Facebook or an Instagram account is hacked is that very quickly the scammers will start to message everyone that that person is friends with. And essentially, they are trying to find more victims. And then if they can compromise those friends' accounts, they'll just continue, rinse, and repeat. And eventually, what they'll try and do is get the people that they message to do things like click on links that could take you to malware sites, to engage with them in conversations that can lead to social engineering scams. So there's lots of things that could happen that are pretty bad, not just for the person whose account gets hacked. Obviously, it's a huge inconvenience. But it also presents a threat to everybody that that person is friends with as well.
I guess one could argue that as far as identity theft is concerned, you know, losing access to your social media account is more of an inconvenience maybe than a true hardship. What are the stakes for people who do lose access, though, to their social media?
Well, we also know that people often use their social media accounts as a way to log into other sites. And if things like your email address and password combination that you've been using on your Facebook account, for example, is the same one you're using on your primary email account, then very quickly you can see how scammers would reuse password and email combination and start to compromise your primary email. And if they have the access to your primary email, they can start doing things like requesting password resets on bank accounts and other very valuable accounts. It's a pretty significant precursor to other types of fraud that can really affect not just your financial health, but also your emotional health. We unfortunately see data from groups like the Identity Theft Resource Center that say that being a victim of identity fraud does correlate to higher incidence of feelings of suicidal thoughts, for example, and self-harm. It's the way many of us keep in touch with those we know and love and share information. And so when you are disconnected, that is very much a significant disruption on your life.
Well, and that brings up a good point, which I honestly am not even sure how to frame this question, except this experience left me wondering, like, what rights do social media account holders have? I mean, you know, you put personal information on these platforms, you share photographs and opinions, like you said, you use them to connect with other people, but you don't really own your account. And when bad things happen, it doesn't seem like you have much control. Do people have any sort of rights, if you will, to their social media?
Well, to the extent that social media platforms have rules in place that talk about what will happen if your account gets compromised and the steps that you can take, and then turns out they don't actually follow those, then yeah, there would be rights under things like the Federal Trade Commission's prohibitions against unfair or deceptive practices. But, you know, there isn't specific laws out there that say you have a right to be let back into your Facebook account or your Instagram account if it gets hacked. It really is almost entirely up to the whims of that social media platform to decide what steps they are going to take or not take when your account gets hacked.
Should there be more ownership or more rights that people have here? What does advocacy look like for you on these issues?
Well, I think what we're trying to do is make sure that everybody has some level of reasonable data security, regardless of what service they're using. You know, most of us can understand sort of this in context of Facebook or on TikTok or on Twitter/X. But really, this is a problem across almost all accounts that consumers use on a daily basis. Companies aren't doing enough to protect those accounts from hackers. And then when bad things happen, as they too often do, what we find out is that the consequences of that typically fall on the people who are least positioned to do anything about it, meaning you and me. I'm not a tech wizard. I can't suddenly unlock my Facebook account or put the genie back in the bottle if hackers get a hold of lots of sensitive information and then start using it for nefarious purposes. But unfortunately, it seems like social media platforms and many technology companies who collect and profit off our data too often pass the buck. And that has very serious consequences for consumers, both in terms of our financial losses, in terms of mental health when we have to deal with this, in terms of our sense of security when we go online. And I think that that's unfortunately a consequence of the fact that we don't have a whole lot of laws and regulations that consumers can depend on in cases like this.
Is this, to your knowledge, even a problem being raised to state or federal lawmakers? And if so, is there kind of a policy solution to this in your view?
Well, I think this is certainly one thing that will be addressed when we finally get around to passing comprehensive federal privacy and data security legislation. It's far too easy for the data that is collected about consumers to be misused, whether we're talking about it being misused by criminals or misused by companies who are seeking to profit off of that. And so I do think that comprehensive federal privacy and data security legislation will go a long way. That's one reason why NCL supported the ADPPA, which was the comprehensive legislation that passed last year in the House but died in the Senate. There are certainly states in the absence of federal legislation who are taking the lead. Some of them are passing better laws than others. We certainly look to states like California, who are really the trendsetters and the gold standard when it comes to comprehensive privacy and data security legislation. And we also look to overseas, to places like the European Union's GDPR regulations for ideas on how consumers' data can be better protected.
We'll be right back. Are there specific provisions that you see in some of these laws being passed elsewhere or that you would like to see that would kind of address this particular issue where, you know, people lose access to their accounts or they're hacked on their accounts and they don't seem to have much recourse for it?
Well, you know, so I'm not aware of specific legislative proposals or legislation out there that deals with this item particularly, right? Sort of, you know, I've been locked out of my Facebook account and now I can exercise rights A, B, and C in order to get my access redone. So, you know, I tend to look at sort of what are the general data security regulations that are out there that prevent us from having to do that in the first place. You know, what they say, in the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I think that if there were better data security regulations in place, you would have companies like Facebook and others take additional steps to better secure their network from this kind of hacking in the first place.
And in lieu of any sort of federal privacy legislation, which, as you and I both know, has been talked about and not acted upon for a number of years now, what more would you like to see social media companies be doing about this?
Well, I think number one, what I hear most often from consumers when something like this happens is frustration that it's so hard for them to reach a live person. Unfortunately, staffing call centers when you have a billion plus users the way that Facebook does is expensive, and they don't really want to spend that money to do it. I think another thing that could happen is better work on digital ID verification. You know, it's very difficult for companies, even when they want to help consumers, to know who they're talking to on the other end of the line. It could be a consumer like your mom who was just locked out of her account and wants to get left back in, or it could be a scammer who's actually trying to impersonate that user and get access to that account for nefarious purposes. So there are downsides to making it too easy for people to get back into an account they may have been locked out of. And that's always a balancing game that social media platforms have to play. But I certainly think creating more incentives for them to invest more in this to make it easier on consumers when this happens is something that a group like mine would support.
Yeah, it's you talking about how hard it is to like get a live human being on the phone really resonates, because I consider myself a tech savvy person. I mean, tech is part of my job, but trying to help my mom with her account, I kept hitting dead end after dead end and just sort of, you know, walked away thinking like, why is this so hard to solve?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that doesn't get talked often enough when we're talking about not just this kind of fraud, but all kinds of fraud, is the stigma that comes with being a victim. Now, I don't know what your conversations with your mom went like, but I know that far too many victims that we hear from have been told things like, I can't believe that you were silly enough to fall for this, or how come you didn't know this is a scam? And what I know as somebody who has looked at frauds and scams and dealt with fraud victims for more than 15 years now is that anybody can be a victim. Nobody is immune to this. And the scammers are very, very good at what they do. This really does happen to far too many people all the time. And I think when you can help somebody sit down, think rationally, go through this step by step, it becomes easier to resolve the problem.
Right. And my advice would be to change all your passwords on everything else. That's the first thing I had my mom do, was change your password on literally everything. Your Costco account, change it. Your Kohl's credit card, change it. You know? Well, John, one last question for you, which is, based on your experience, any advice for me and my mom on how to get this damn account back?
Well, you know, I think number one, keep track of all of your interactions. Find out what you were told, who you talked to, and take it step by step. Don't get flustered if the first step doesn't resolve the problem. I talk to folks Facebook on a fairly regular basis, and they are aware of this problem, but they also are aware that scammers often try and use these same processes to gain access to accounts that they don't have the right to access. And so take it step by step. I think usually they ask you to start providing some sort of identification that you are who you say you are. But yeah, take it slow, try and keep emotion out of it, and hopefully you can get this taken care of.
Hopefully. I'll have to keep you posted. But John, I thank you for joining us on Politico Tech.
Of course. Thanks a lot.
So my mom and I will keep trying to get this account back, but the experience has left her a little changed.
I'm so paranoid now. I'm paranoid about everything. Every time I use my credit card, every time I use my ATM card, you know, it's just like, the hackers are everywhere, you know.
I laugh, but it's true. You do have to be cautious. You can't be paranoid.
Right.
You should be cautious.
And I'm telling you, I'm right on the fence there between cautious and paranoid, like looking all around to make sure that I'm not being watched, or, you know, I'm looking every time I use my ATM card or my credit card, I'm looking at the machine to see if it's been tampered with. It just really shakes your confidence in technology in general.
Inspector Gadget here.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And it's not a good place to be in the year 2024. You cannot be suspect of technology because you can't live without it.
Right. Well, Mom, you're my favorite guest and the best guest we've had.
Thanks.
I'm asking around, trying to still get some answers and figure out if we can get this resolved. So I will let you know what I find
out. Well, I will tell everybody I know. I mean, I've already told everybody I know to listen to your podcast, but this one in particular, I'm going to, you know, gee, if you send me the link, maybe I'll put it on my Facebook page.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Maybe,
right, well, Mom,
maybe the hacker will actually listen to this. What do you think?
Right, maybe.
God. All right. All right. Thank you so much for having me. I will talk to you soon.
Love you. Bye.
I love you too. Bye.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Brickmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here on Monday.